Derek Griffin, how are you doing? Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me up here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have Jordan with us as well.
Yeah.
How are we doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah. You got the Hive t-shirt on. That's cool.
I do.
We got those in the other day from somebody that we're going to do a podcast with. We're doing a t-shirt thing on the podcast where bring us a t-shirt and we're going to maybe put them on the walls and, you know, do a little marketing with t-shirts. So if you have a t-shirt for your company, give it to Jordan next time you see her and we'll do that. We're gonna hang them somewhere. I don't know where we're going to hang them, but we're going to hang them.
Like a t-shirt wall.
Well, I did, I had just an ungodly amount of Falcons t-shirts over the years. And one of my friends, he's a Florida State fan, and he had this blanket. It was a t-shirt blanket, but it was nice, like fleece or something on the other side. But on that side, on one side was all his t-shirts. And I'm like, where did you get that made? And there's a company, if you send them your t-shirts, they'll make a quilt out of it. And I just did that. So I was thinking maybe we would just get, you know, 30 or 40 t-shirts from all of our podcasts and we could just change them every time. So they have a little bit of advertising on the podcast.
That works.
So your company is called?
Speartech.
Speartech. And what does Speartech do?
We're a technology company that builds business-to-business e-commerce websites. And when I say business-to-business, that typically is a product manufacturer or importer who is selling at a wholesale price to either retailers or they're selling through distribution.
So importing and selling to like retail stores.
Correct.
Directly.
Yeah, at a wholesale price.
And these are all e-commerce that are doing that?
Yes.
Okay. So no phone calls. They don't call up and go, hey, I need, you know, 14 boxes of this shirt or need 18 of those lamps.
It tries to automate that process so that instead of having to tie up your own customer service people answering the phone, the customer who needs to order can just go online, see what's in inventory, place an order, and even better, have that order feed right into an accounting or ERP system so nobody has to actually key the order in.
Nice. Nice. And did you start out with these kind of companies because of your past? Or did you start out with, you know, mom and pop, you know, websites?
We really started out with informational websites. Our original goal was to build websites that are easy for non-technical people to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out as more content-driven stuff. And quickly, I'd say like 2002, it evolved into almost 90% e-commerce. And then about 2005, on a lark, I guess, we went to a product trade show and then realized that all the product companies that were there that were, you know, selling their stuff to retail stores, they are the ones that needed this solution worse than anybody.
Nice.
So we kind of started heading in that direction, and that's been our kind of our niche, I guess, for the last 15 years.
So we're gonna stop right there, and I'm gonna back you up a few years because that's what you're doing right now. But I would like for you to tell everybody, really, because this is called Burn the Ship, and it's for an entrepreneurial and business owner podcast. Tell us about your days in corporate and when you actually burned your ship, and went and did what you did.
Sure. So my first professional life was in public accounting. So I worked in public for, I don't know, 7 years doing audit and tax, then went to work for one of my clients as a CFO of a $20 million manufacturing company. On the side, me and a mountain bike buddy were sort of setting the stage to do this technology company startup. And we all got to the point in January of 2000 where it was time to burn the ship. So we resigned, quit our jobs, put money in, went without a paycheck for 7 months.
Yeah.
With a pregnant wife.
Oh yeah.
So that was some wild scary nights, but we ended up raising a little bit of venture, I guess more friends and family kind of funding. And that got us a little bit further along. And then we limped along honestly from 2002 to 2005, and then things finally started clicking. So from 2005 to 2008, we grew by about 30% a year, and we were doing quite well.
So yeah, we had a guy on here his name was Chris Camp, and he owns Atlanta Painting Company. It's the largest re-res painting company in Atlanta, one of the biggest in the Southeast. And he was saying almost the same thing. They limped along for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then it just kind of happened or it kind of hit. Well, he was like, it was lucky that we didn't kind of get big in that first year because we would have known what to do with it. It was really good that we had those growing pains and those, that, you know, those 3 to 5 years because, you know, we learned a lot and we learned who we were going to be as a company and we had our personnel ready. Is that kind of your experience with that 3 years too?
Yes. You definitely learn to run lean. And make sure that you're running a cash flow positive business. It also helped that I had an accounting and finance background.
Oh, for sure.
And then that accounting and finance background has helped me tremendously because all of our clients on the Speartech side are closely held businesses. So being able to understand how what we're going to build, which is really a business solution, it's much more than just a website, is going to impact them on the financial side and bottom line side is huge.
How many employees do you have?
We have about 10.
10. And are you the only salespeople or do you have other salespeople?
I've got one other one. And then she's more of a relationship salesperson. Mm-hmm. So people would buy from her because they like her. Mm-hmm. But they end up signing because I can give them that confidence that we know exactly what we're doing and we'll deliver a quality, valuable product.
Cool.
So it's a team effort.
Very much so.
And is she a part of networking too?
Yes.
Is that what she does?
Not as active as I am. But to be honest, a lot of our business comes from trade shows. Okay. We do a handful, probably 10 to 12 in a normal non-COVID year, 10 to 12 trade shows a year in a couple of different industries. And those product companies are the ones that we target.
Walk me down a trade show and how you get business from it. So what are the specific vertical trade shows you go to? When you have a table and you're talking to people, how do you go down that lineage and how do you make them a client?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
So the industries are gift and home decor. So if you're from Atlanta, America's Mart is a big one.
Uh-huh.
It's the largest gift show in the country. We also do some industrial product shows like hammers, screws, that kind of stuff. And then also promotional product shows like polo shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, anything with a logo. Mm. So we have a pre-show strategy and an at-show strategy. Mm-hmm. The booth is not just for people to blindly walk by us. It's really just to validate us as an exhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
We research ahead of time and basically create a hit list of other exhibitors that have websites that suck.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We don't walk into the booth and tell them, hey, your website sucks, you need us. We actually just start a conversation.
No, but you accidentally run into them.
Yes. So we specifically go in, and this is where Andrea is really good. She will start a conversation talking about the product, talking about how the show is going, talking about anything except us.
That's right.
And never mentions what we do or who we are. And eventually,
they ask.
Just human nature, they're going to ask, well, what do you do? What do you sell? Mm-hmm. And then that opens the door for her to tell them a little bit about us. That approach gets an honest answer from the exhibitor. They'll say, oh, our website's terrible. You need to call so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you just walked in and say, hey, we do wholesale e-commerce and maybe we can help you out. They're like, oh, my website's great. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad it is, it's a stiff arm at the edge of the booth if you start off the conversation that way.
That's it.
All about the approach.
Very much so.
Well, it's non-abrasive. So that's what I tell people when you're doing networking. I explained a little bit about why we don't bang phone calls out and try to get people to do credit, because it's not person to person. It's not, you know, we're a different company. But if I'm going back to with your bike friend that you started the company with, why websites? Why not something else? Was that something both of you guys did? What was the passion behind that?
He and then some of the other partners that started were all on the technology side. I was much more on the business process side, and understanding kind of both the financial side of it and what a business needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I could define the project, they could develop it. So it was a good, you kind of needed both sides. You can have, so purely technology people are great at building stuff, but they don't know what to build and they don't know how to ask the right questions to pull or extract out of the client what they need.
That's right. That's right. What is I'm skipping all over the place, but going back to the trade shows, when's the first contact after the trade show ends to these people? The next day, the week, next week?
Sometimes it depends. In the gift industry, it could honestly be a month because you could have companies that in the show season, we'll call it, they'll exhibit in Atlanta 1 week, Dallas the week after that, Vegas the week after that, and New York the week after that.
Yeah.
So you kind of find out from them in that conversation where you headed next, and they'll tell you, well, I won't be home for a month, you know, or I'm home on the weekends and I'm going here, here, and here. So you sort of make a note of that and then set a basically a reminder to follow up when you think they have caught their breath.
Is it the same as every other trade show in March, April, May to June? Is really that bulk of trade shows?
So in the gift industry, it's January mainly, and then again in July to August. And the souvenir market, which is kind of like gift, but it's more of what you would buy at either a beach gift shop or let's say a national park gift shop, that is heavy in the fall because they sell all summer long. And then in the fall, I'd say September through December, they are now like shopping for what they're going to order and bring into their store in the spring.
So percentage-wise, from trade show to you getting out, and I know you've been in networking groups for a decade or more. On one of them, you spoke to me outside, and then you're in another networking group as well. What percentage from networking to getting out to the trade shows?
I'd say 70% trade show, 30% networking.
Do you think that the networking is a better deal because of relationships?
I do networking for two reasons. One, it is obviously to get business, but two, it's so that I have a network of trusted colleagues that I can, like when my clients need something, I'm like, I know a guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for
I
sure.
always know a guy or a girl.
That you trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I call everybody guys. Like, hey, guys, come on.
Yeah, like he says earlier, my guys.
These are my guys.
I'm here too.
These are my
but
guys.
I know it's
but
not
you're
those.
One of my guys.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no male or female on my guys. It's just the guys.
Gotcha.
The people. Yeah. These are my people.
That's right. So that it's important to have that sort of a trusted colleagues where you can say, hey, this person needs this and I need you to take care of them and know that they'll do it.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of the reason as I did it that for that long too is because of that is it's just, and I could still go to networking groups in Decatur and I'll know at least one or two people. I did it for so long, 15 years.
He actually popped into my women's group and knew half of them there.
Oh, I knew more than that. Yeah. Yeah. I knew more than that. Most of those guys go BNI and all the Mary the Business and Lana. I mean, just all of them. I just did it for so long. When me and Allison lived at that house in South Paulding, I didn't take the kids. The reason I'm not in a morning networking group now is because I take the kids to school. Since we built another house over here about 6 years ago. I still go to some night networking groups, but I was at a networking group every morning, Monday through Friday.
Oof,
Monday,
that's painful.
Nah, man. So you have no idea the dream that networking when it came to me because I was a 50-60 door a day knocker. I knocked on doors all day. So when I found this networking, I was like, really? I can do this? And I can only maybe knock on 20 doors a day? It was so great to me. So all I had to do was go from 7:30 to 9 to a different group every day. I could... And the retention on those deals are just incredible.
Right.
They're just incredible.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of them from 15 years ago that are clients of mine. It's insane.
That's awesome.
And then I would go to about two to three at night. But we didn't have kids, you know, and I had to get it.
Yeah, I understand.
I had to get it. In those 3 years, I did it. And then I took on a partner, and we started MP Group. But it was... I was burning the ship right there.
I remember,
my wife was also pregnant during that time.
Yeah. I remember my first networking groups were morning groups, and then I got to the point where I was taking the kids to school, and I bagged it too. So the group I'm in now is a lunch-only group, and it's twice a month, so it's manageable.
And you guys are still meeting virtually, but you're talking about going back face-to-face?
Correct.
Yep. And where do you guys meet? When you do meet,
we
face
were
to face.
Meeting at.
We meet at Zoom
at HLB Gross Collins, which is basically the Galleria area, Cumberland area.
Are you going to go back there?
As far as I know, yes. And then certain ones of us who are, I guess, not as fearful of what's going on, we'll go meet, whether it's happy hour. Yeah, right. I mean, if we have enough alcohol, we're going to kill the germs anyway.
So. For sure. That's the funny, you know, I look at these maps of the world and, you know, there's always like red or blue or whatever it is of what's going on at the time. I just remember when EMV came in place in the merchant services industry, so that Eurocard, MasterCard, Visa card, you know, that the chip on the card. Mm-hmm. Well, we were on the last of the table to do that. America was in technology. It was crazy amount of fraud because of that stripe on the back. Still mm-hmm. is. But when we were learning that in 2015, I was doing, and you didn't have to do it for like 2 or 3 years after that, but we were learning what the process was to change all of our clients from machine that swipes to machine that chips and everything that goes along with that. They were very boring meetings. But the guy throws up the map and it was like, these are the countries that's taking the chip cards. And it was, the whole thing was blue. And it was like, these are the countries that are not. And it was everybody in Africa, all the countries in Africa and America.
That's hard to believe.
And I was like, God dang, if you're on that list, that is not good. Because that's a low technology continent, really, besides maybe South Africa. There's some other ones, but for the most part, it's a low technology. Yeah. And we're supposedly one of the higher technologies, and it was just not good. So the same thing with the COVID. When like, you remember, you never know now, you think back, were these true maps or are they not true maps? But it was like these countries in Africa, like 2 cases confirmed. Well, first off, malaria has been in there forever, and they have more diseases to worry about than COVID.
Yeah.
So it's like, and nobody gets checked. Like, we're not worried about that disease. And you know, I don't know. It's been a wild time, and you know, that disease at first when people did, is a real disease and it's a real virus, and you do have to watch it.
Yep.
Have you gotten your shot?
I have not.
You going to?
I don't know. A buddy of mine, we were talking about that at lunch. He's already had COVID, but he's still having issues with it. And his doctor tells him if he gets the vaccine, it should knock his lingering issues out. So,
I think I'm going to get it. I had COVID, and if I can get a shot that doesn't give me that again, I think I'll do it.
Yeah.
It was bad for it was really bad for me for 4 days. I know there's some people that's been months. But those 4 days were awful.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've got one brother who had a rough time with it, and the other one didn't know he had it.
Mm. So I felt bad for like 10 days. Mm-hmm. But 4 of those days, and I didn't lose sense of smell. I didn't lose taste. I didn't have headaches. I didn't get a temperature. But it was like my body aches were like people were stabbing me in every muscle at the same time.
Oh, man.
I slept, you know, 1 hour at a time and then wake up. Oh, mm-hmm. it was real bad. I don't wish that upon anybody.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it's so wild from person to person too, right? Mm-hmm. And all the symptoms are different. And then they're, you know, I still have some lingering things, but it's not much.
Yeah.
Yep. So I can't wait till we get done with all this.
Me too. Yeah, I think I would get the shot just if I could get back to my regular life. Like, I like to travel. I'm a bit of a national park junkie. So I go to different places in the country and hike or mountain bike or whatever. And just to be able to do that at will would be awesome.
Are they all shut down still?
No, they're open. Some of them were shut down early. Like, I was technically supposed to hike the Grand Canyon last year. I had reservations to stay at the bottom, which is this cabin called Phantom Ranch. And it was closed during the dates of my reservation. And the only way to get the reservation is a lottery. And I had won it, I guess, gotten it a year, maybe 13 months before, and I haven't won it again since, so I'm kind of pissed.
And you do have to win it again to get in there?
Yes.
No, hey, I had it, and you were closed.
No reimbursement?
Nope.
They don't care.
Nope. I was very irritated at that.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You'll get back in there. Yeah. You'll get back in there. Buy somebody's. Somebody gets it, I bet they would sell it for, it'd be pricey though, right?
I need to look Craigslist for...
Craigslist for somebody to sell it?
Grand Canyon.
You better check out their certificate because it might not be real.
Yeah.
What other ones have you... What's the coolest one you've ever been to?
It's kind of hard to call any of them the best because some of them are so amazing, but I'd give you a top three would be Glacier National Park in Montana. Mm-hmm. North Cascades, which is north of... It's in Washington State, north of Seattle and right on the Canadian border. It is rugged and just beautiful.
So Vancouver, right?
Yes, just
close to Vancouver,
it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like there's hikes you can do where you're looking into Canada if you get high enough. It's pretty awesome. And then Yosemite's amazing. And then Zion in Utah is, I've been like 5 times.
Is your kids, you have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Do they enjoy biking and doing all that with you or no?
So my daughter is my hiking buddy.
Okay.
And
oh,
we've done most of these national parks together. And we're actually going to Alaska this summer.
How old is she?
She is almost 21. This will be her, I guess, her summer between her junior and senior year of college.
So this Where's she at?
University of South Carolina.
Cool.
So, and she's actually in Spain right now doing study abroad.
That's amazing.
So,
how does she say it's over there with COVID? Or people are masked up?
She says
up
it's terrible.
I bet.
But she said at least America has kind of got a plan for vaccines and opening things back up. It's been a real train wreck in Europe. So, but she's looking forward to coming back. And
I mean, Europe is so, I mean, it's really small. I mean, these countries are small countries, right? And so you have, it would be like every state being its own country, and every one of them have wildly different views on it.
And that's the problem.
You know?
And they're all pointing fingers at each other and, you know, nobody's getting anything done. So my son doesn't enjoy it as much, but he's a real sports junkie. So we've taken a lot of trips to see either an NFL team or an NBA team or a lot of college basketball stuff. So.
But it's cool that you have that, those two different experiences with the two different children.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. What's who does he like in sports?
We're diehard North Carolina Tar Heel fans.
Cool.
So, yep. And then he likes some NBA teams, but I don't care about the pros.
He's not gonna be seeing them anytime soon.
Nope.
The Tar Heels, right? That's weird, right?
Yeah.
That all those teams, all those iconic teams, just something happened this year. They couldn't click. They didn't have enough practice.
Well, UNC did get in the into the tournament. So Duke, who I hate,
of course,
in Kentucky.
Hope everybody heard
did North
that.
Carolina get in the tournament?
Yeah, they're 8 seed. We play Wisconsin Friday at 7.
I thought
if we win, we play Baylor, so that could be a short.
So no, never mind. It's Kentucky and Duke that didn't get into
correct.
It. And both of those guys hadn't been in the tournament. Either of them in like 60 years. They said something crazy.
Like that,
and then Kansas. I'm pretty sure they made it, but they're not like that. Crazy Kansas team. And this tournament's so awesome because really, especially this year. Now, Gonzaga has the far and away advantage, but anybody can win
it. The reason Gonzaga is so strong is they have a ton of upperclassmen that have already played together for 4 years.
Yep.
All these other programs, Duke, UNC, Kentucky.
One and done.
Well, or just a lot of freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And normally those freshmen show up in the summer. They play together all summer, and they really have a chance to gel. And they didn't get that this year. You know, it's very limited how much interaction they can have because of COVID. So I'll be fine if they give all the college athletes shots and get them vaccinated so they can actually live a life instead of, because they're kind of like living in a prison.
Bubbled up, for sure.
It sucks to be a college age kid and not be able to have fun and party with your friends
and
whatever.
Well, seniors in high school, same. I mean, that's like the time, right?
Yeah.
You're done with that part of your life, and that's time, especially from like, you know, May, June, July, and into that summer where you're really, they scatter like flies. They scatter. Yeah. So those are the last time you're going to spend with everybody together, and they just didn't get that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So you're, but what about football?
Still a North Carolina Tar Heel fan in football as well. I grew up in North Carolina. My dad went there, and I have been a Tar Heel fan since I was born, basically.
And your daughter went to South Carolina?
Yes.
Ooh.
But South Carolina was a better fit for her. It's, she's a double major in finance and international business, and they have the number one international business program in the country.
Interesting. How'd they get that?
It's just a focus that they've had for a long time. They've got a really big business school, and
it's funny how some colleges do that are just focused on something, because there was a teacher, a professor there at one time that put his or her heart and soul into it to make it that way.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a Tennessee fan, so they have like forensic, one of the best forensic science majors. It was just odd, University of Tennessee having that. So It's odd.
We were on a call with my son's, I guess, guidance counselor at high school, and she was mentioning the schools that would be a good fit for him. She threw Tennessee out, and he perked up big time. I think we're going to tour it this fall, but I told him, I said, look, because the other thing is I want to go to different big college football stadiums. I'm like, we've got to go to a game at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big – man, the SEC is just so different when it comes to college football. I know that people say that, but
no,
it's real.
Right.
It's real.
I've been to North Carolina football games, you know, most of my life. Mm-hmm. And then this is back in Cam Newton's year, but I went to, it was my first SEC game was Georgia at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, 87,000 people that never sat down.
That was the wild catch, too.
There was a bunch
that
of
That was the wild
plays.
Catch at the end where it hit off somebody's hands and they scored in the last minute, right? Second.
I think that was the year after
okay.
that.
All right. They had a, and the kick six was that year, though. That was the next game with Alabama
that
and Auburn?
That might have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is wild, yeah.
Got a second?
What now?
I said, got a second?
That's right.
See those shirts on
100%, yes. It was wild, and that's why you can't ever give up, because there's always, if there's a second left on the clock, you could lose.
Yeah.
You know? Well, look, we really appreciate you coming. What I'd like for you to do is tell us how can we help you better? Who's the clients that you're looking for? How can we get a hold of you?
Sure. So the companies that we add the most value to would be companies that are like, let's say they have a warehouse, they have products, mm-hmm. And they're selling that either through distributors or maybe they're selling to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Location doesn't matter because we have clients all over the country and in Canada. And then how to get hold of us, the best way to learn about us and to see the quality of work that we do is to visit our website mm-hmm. at SpearTek, and that is SpearTek.com. And we're in Marietta, Georgia, 2 miles from the Battery in the Braves Stadium, so pretty easy to get a hold of.
Yep. I really appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having me up here. Yeah.
If there's anything else you want to say, throw it out there.
No, we've covered a lot. I look forward to getting to know you guys better and appreciate the time to have me up here.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Y'all
Thanks.
Be kind to each other.
Yeah.